the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, December the 29th, 2017. I'm Mike Clifford. President Trump goes on the record with the New York Times in an unexpected interview. Also on the rundown, children's health advocates say the CHIP funding should be non-negotiable. And Mainers plan to jump into frigid waters on New Year's Eve to fight global warming. First, our top story, a deadly fire in the Bronx in an apartment building located close by New York's Fordham University. The New York Times reports 12 people are known to be dead, but that number could rise with more than four others critically injured. The Times reports that gusty winds fueled the blaze that tore through the centrally old apartment building. The five-alarm fire is said to be the worst in New York City in a quarter of a century. President Donald Trump sat down for an apparently unscheduled interview with the New York Times Thursday. He repeatedly told the Times there was no collusion with Russia, but he said there was tremendous collusion with the Democrats and Russia. Asked by the Times if the DOJ should reopen the Clinton email investigation, Trump replied, "I have an absolute right to do what I want to do with the Justice Department." Trump added, "For the purposes of hopefully thinking I'm going to be treated fairly, I've stayed uninvolved with this particular matter." A last-minute deal in Congress to provide short-term funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program hasn't done much to alleviate stress for states and parents going into the new year. More from Eric Tegedoff.
CHIP is one of the main funding streams, along with Medicaid and state funding, for Washington State's insurance program Apple Health for Kids, which covers about half of the state's children. According to the Hospital Corporation of America, about 58,000 kids on Apple Health receive some percent of CHIP funding. LaTanya Lester with Children's Alliance says that funding helps kids with chronic health care needs, but also routine checkups.
We've been told by so many parents, Apple Health allowed me to bring my kid in when they said they had a stomach ache, and as a result of that, we discovered they had a more severe health care issue than we would have thought, and they were able to get treatment and get it taken care of.
Congress approved of funding for CHIP until the end of March. The program mainly helps low-income and working-class families who earn too much to qualify for Medicaid. The program has received bipartisan support since it was authored in 1997 by Utah Republican Senator Orrin Hatch.
Republican and Democratic leaders in Congress have disagreed on how to fund the program. The cost for CHIP services nationally in 2016 was about $16 billion. A group of children's advocates has begun talking with lawmakers to find ways to keep Arkansas families together when a parent is convicted of a crime. Arkansas Voices for Children Left Behind is looking to find alternatives to putting parents behind bars when there's no one to care for their children.
Leanne Newell, director of Arkansas Voices, says at least 72,000 kids in the state currently have one or both parents in jail, and children's lives are falling through the cracks.
We've been doing a lot of legislative initiatives over the years, but this year we have got to directly attack the fact that we are locking up so many parents of minor age children with nothing to help the children.
Newell says her group will be asking legislators to develop alternatives to incarceration for parents, such as ankle monitors, supervised home detention, or weekends only in jail. She says in addition to acting as advocates, the group also provides counseling and other support services to the children and their incarcerated parents. Mark Richardson reporting.
And now a story close to the heart of most every journalist. Roz Brown reports 63 million, or 16% of U.S. residents, live in rural America, and while they are increasingly embracing digital technology, they still rely on local newspapers to provide them with news that the Internet can't.
Al Cross, who heads the Institute for Rural Journalism, says rural residents are 10% less likely to have broadband and smartphones than city dwellers. And while many don't believe all the information they read on the Internet, Cross says trust in the local newspaper remains high.
I think there's always going to be a demand for news of your locality. I think that journalism is essential for democracy. In rural communities, they deserve journalism, good journalism too, and that people are always going to want the news of their locality.
Cross says rural residents no longer expect to get national and international news from their local paper, but want school, police, and civic information that other news sources don't provide.
There are 7,000 weekly newspapers and 1,200 daily newspapers across the country. And finally, Andrea Sears tells us intrepid runners will be ringing out the old year this Sunday by taking a dip in icy waters to raise money for the fight against climate change.
With temperatures expected to be right around 0 degrees Fahrenheit, it promises to be the coldest polar bear dip yet. The annual event is held every December 31st to raise money to support the work of the Natural Resources Council of Maine, the state's leading environmental advocacy organization. According to Stacy Haynes, the group's membership director, the 5K jog to the water's edge makes this event unique.
A lot of runners come out for a fun-filled, sometimes slippery, sometimes snowy run around the Fat Cove in Portland, and then we all meet at the beach at noon to jump into the ocean.
So far, 140 Mainers have registered to participate in Sunday's Polar Bear Dip and Dash.
Organizers say that Sunday's event is already close to meeting its $25,000 fundraising goal. That's our news for now. Until next year, this is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.